You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every day around this time, we do a little thing we call The Rundown. Let's do it.
Now, it's The Rundown, presented by Trippett Insurance. Trippett Insurance at 6462 Stage Road in Bartlett. Depend on your local insurance agent. Trippett Insurance at 901-365-1472. Online at trippettagency.com. The Rundown, with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Penny Hardaway is working the transfer portal. It's happening. He's landed his first out of the portal.
Oh, he's not here today. I'm sorry.
And you're teasing folks because that's so good. They're going to expect the Godfather
to come on. The Godfather stepped out for a second, but we got one coming in.
That's right. Godfather a little under the weather.
Yeah. Where's the Godfather?
Mm-hmm. Under the weather.
He's sick today. Okay.
So he's
go back into your smoke
here.
Room.
He's not here. Mm. And, you know, the Godfather just comes out when it's time to push people
that's
out.
That's right. Not when they're coming in. Does he have some? Who does he have? Still the Godfather's doing work, though.
Most definitely. Name is Nick Jourdain, Temple forward. You've seen him because he played against Memphis this season. 6'8", 215 pounds. Played three seasons for the Owls, averaging 5.8 points. Reading from Jason Munn's story over at commercialappeal.com, 4.3 rebounds, 1.3 blocks. This news was breaking as we came on, as Nick Jourdain announced the news that he was committing to Memphis from out of the transfer portal on Instagram. He is a native of Clifton, New Jersey, and I had mentioned when we started, because it was the first game I pulled up, in that two-point win that Memphis had over Temple where Kendrick Davis hit the buzzer beater, Jourdain in that game, you know, for as unimpressive as the 5.8, 4.3 rebounds for his career are, against Memphis in that one, he had 16 and 10. Also had three blocks in that game. In the return game at FedEx Forum, as Munns points out, he had 10 points and three rebounds. So, listen, capable forward, not a guy who's going to come in here and answer all your questions with what you're going to be missing in there now. We know DeAndre Williams gone. We'll see what happens with Malcolm Dandridge. KO has moved on to pursue professional opportunities or whatever that path's going to be for him. You need big man help, certainly. We'd said it could be, you know, multiple bigs in terms of maybe it's not two, maybe it's three. Also, we know, too, recently Jamar Young announced he's out. A guy who did not play for Memphis last year was on the roster after transferring from SMU. Big, obviously, as well. So yeah. You had that subtraction as well. You got to get some big bodies in there. And it seems like Nick Jourdain certainly fits the bill with that. Again, he's not huge, 6'8", 215, but in terms of rebounding has shown that he can give it to you and did it against a Memphis team. And it kind of goes along with Penny Hardaway's pattern here in the last couple of years. He sees something good in the AAC. He's not scared to go get it. Remember that he is already recruiting Jourdain's Temple teammate, Khalif Battle, who was now him and a bunch of others in terms of the country, the rest of college basketball, also recruiting Khalif Battle. But having Nick Jourdain might not hurt already on your squad. Khalif Battle last year was Temple's leading scorer, 17.9 points per game, shot 35% from three, absolute stud, 90%er from the free throw line. He's the guy you want and a guy that's high on many of these portal lists that you see top transfers available. He's one of those guys, and maybe Penny's got a feather in the cap already in terms of continuing to recruit Battle and having Nick Jourdain already in the fold. So it's started already. We said it would for Memphis because it has to. Penny's made he's said after the season too, he wants to get these guys, you know, committed, these transfer portal guys, and in earlier if he can, so that he's got them in June and July for as many that he can get in here earlier, because he thinks that's, mm-hmm. you know, after getting off to A lot of these one, you know, the Elijah McCaddens, even Keyonte Kennedy. We saw it with DeMario Franklin, who's, you know, hit, in terms of him getting acclimated to the offense, it took him even longer because he had that stretch where he was ineligible. But it took all those guys a while to get settled in to their new roles. And it sounds like Penny wants to get that process started sooner with the offseason stuff. And so key to that is getting guys locked in. Nick Jourdain will represent that, and I imagine Penny's going to want him here as soon as June when those workouts, those offseason workouts begin. So good start to what you figure is going to have to be a pretty big haul in terms of transfer guys, because we've said it, with a young class, top five, may end up top 10 recruiting class coming in, you're going to need to offset that with some serious experience. And, you know, maybe part of that as well, we were talking about Penny going after, you know, guys he's played against, could be Jalen Cook, who yesterday afternoon, and it had been rumored for a while that he might be hitting the portal, it was made official. Jalen Cook, the point guard from Tulane. First-team All-AAC selection in each of the last 2 years. Yes, in the portal, 5'11". Remind you anybody? Kendrick Davis?
Little, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but good.
Little, but good, and can score his tail off.
AAC.
He missed five games early with a hamstring injury in the season, but averaged 19.9 points and 4.9 assists, ranking second in the AAC in scoring to Kendrick Davis. Obviously, no one else better. And then you add the five assists per game. The size, you know, what he's able to do from a scoring and distributing standpoint remind you a ton of Kendrick Davis. And this, to me, is the one. Like, we were talking about Caleb Love, the transfer out of North Carolina, and how you could sort of fit things together around Mikey Williams. Neither Love nor a guy like Mikey Williams, a proven point guard. You're going to need a guy like that, and Cook is that. Cook has shown he is that, and has shown you super capable as a scorer there as well. And listen, you know, a lot of assuming there that Penny Hardaway would be interested, but I think it's a good educated guess that he would be. A lot of people in the country are going to be interested in Jalen Cook, but it also, you know, in the way of this, that it reminds you of Kendrick Davis, you can point to what you just did with Kendrick and say, look, Kendrick came here to make the NCAA tournament, right, to win a title, and then for me to get him ready for the NBA as a, what, 5'10", 5'11 point guard, you can do the same thing. And listen, you just went through this. SMU, the year before Kendrick comes, beat Memphis twice in the regular season. Penny comes back and gets him in the AAC tournament. It's the same thing with Jalen Cook. It's the same thing with Jalen Cook.
Wild.
That dude got you twice in the regular season.
Yep.
You came back and beat him in the AAC tournament, mm-hmm. and you're literally showing him Kendrick Davis's season in terms of your recruiting pitch to a Jalen Cook. Yeah. I don't know, guys, if this is the one that is the one, but it feels right to me. It's the one I'm going to put my horses behind and say, you know, just in terms of watching Penny build this, if you can get Jalen Cook, mm-hmm. man, maybe, you know, we just said with Kendrick Davis yesterday, there ain't any Kendrick Davises out there. There's no perfect fits. There's nobody just like him. But, man, would this be something like that. And think about if you could add a Khalif Battle, next to that, along with what you've got. Very exciting. We mentioned David Cobb, who used to work for the Commercial Appeal, now is at CBSSports.com, has got Jalen Cook ranked as his eighth best transfer in the portal. I'll read what he said. Cook led a 20-win Tulane team in scoring. We said it, 20 points per game. Led the team in assists, 4.9. Bit undersized at 6 foot. Others have got him at 5'11", but as a career 37% three-point shooter, has shined as one of the AAC's top scorers for two seasons after transferring from LSU his freshman season. Defense isn't his strength, but he could be a difference maker on offense and a starting role for a high major program. There's going to be a lot that are after Jalen Cook, but there were a lot that were after Kendrick Davis.
Sure.
And so, again, with the success that you had with Kendrick Davis, you know, with what you're bringing in, you know, a lot to potentially like about the guys that Penny Hardaway has targeted. You know, the guy at number one on Cobb's list, Kellel Ware, is also a guy who Memphis has contacted. The Oregon big, a 7-footer, blocked 1.3 shots in limited action last year. He's the number one guy. Penny's already has contacted him as well. And I want to tell you there's a Dayton forward as well who is scheduled a visit. I saw that this morning, reportedly scheduled a visit with Memphis next week. Mustafa Amzel, I want to say his name. I don't have it in front of me. Excuse me if I'm messing up the pronunciation, but it is just more evidence of he had been on Zoom calls with Penny and the staff last couple of weeks. He sounds like he's going to be coming in for a visit. So Penny work in the portal, my hopes are out there that he can get Jalen Cook. We'll see. Again, he's going to have a lot of competition for Jalen Cook, but a lot of things shaking. Nick Jourdain is the latest, and yeah, man, things are looking good for Memphis basketball as they attempt to replace a lot from last season's AAC championship team.
And you like Mikey at the two or as on the floor with him at the same time, Jalen Cook?
I like Mikey playing a combo guard. Essentially, what I don't like Mikey is learning on the job how to be a collegiate point guard. So I like him as an option there, but I want something proven. I think it's necessary. I think this is where Penny Hardaway is now after realizing that through those years with Alo and everything else and said, you know what, forget this. I'm going to fix that problem for good and go get me a Kendrick Davis. Yeah. I don't know why you would go back now to having an unproven option. Remember what you did the year before? It was Amani Bates out there trying to learn how to be a point guard. I don't know why you would go back to not having a proven option at point guard when you saw how well it went last year. And again, Jalen Cook just reminds me a lot of the Kendrick Davis addition in the sense that he's a guy that beat you. You know Penny Hardaway has a great admiration for him, and you use that admiration, and you use a little bit of NIL to pull him on in. That's the other thing about it, you know, on the competition standpoint. Everybody wanted Kendrick Davis. Memphis was able to come up with enough there. Set aside the wanting to get the NBA. Sure. Penny can help me, you know, with being an NBA point guard, all that, wanting to make an NCAA tournament. Set that all aside.
Got
that's
sweetener.
Part of the pitch. But you better have some NIL ready. And clearly Memphis had enough when it came to Kendrick Davis to fight off the big boys. And so, again, if you know you see something you like in Jalen Cook and you think he's a good Kendrick Davis replacement, I don't see why you're not going all the way in for him. Could you see a backcourt with a Jalen Cook, Mikey Williams, and Khalif Battle as the three?
Oh, my God.
Khalif just averaged 18 points per game for Temple.
I really like those three.
Yeah.
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 And the kid from Temple on the floor with him, yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, like, that team I could see easily being favored over FAU, even if they brought a lot back as the favorite in a new-look AAC next year.
Yeah.
That, with that kind of backcourt, Jalen Cook would go a long way in terms of making that look good next season. Again, a lot of work to do. Nick Jourdain the first, and certainly one of the building blocks for what's going to be, you figure, a pretty big class in terms of transfer additions. I do think there is one question, real quick, before we move on with Jalen Cook. I think he already used up his immediate transfer option going from LSU to Tulane. So I believe in order to be eligible immediately for Memphis next season, he's going to have to get a waiver. And I only bring that up because we've seen the NCAA come out and say that we're going to make it tougher to get waivers because essentially it's been the wild, wild west of late where teams can do, you know, go wherever they want. Guys can go wherever they want, essentially. They're rubber stamping these waivers, letting guys go wherever. But, you know, if it comes down to needing a waiver and you're talking about an NCAA that's tightened some things up, then...
What about the mental health thing? That seems to be a common trend when these guys transfer. They say, you know, you can kind of see where you can open end to that thing when you're going, it would be a lot better if I'm making a little money going to Memphis, and I'd like to do something different for my own, you know, mental well-being.
I don't want to play naive and act like there aren't some folks that have probably abuse the
wellness clause.
Yeah,
trying to get we had a waiver this year. The guy from UIC, right? Wasn't it? Which one?
Demaria.
Demaria had. I think that was one of the
and that's what I'm saying. Some of these cases, I suspect there's very good reasons and reasons that deal in mental health. But I'm not naive enough to think too there aren't some situations where guys are using it. What I would say is that I mean Jalen Cook from everything that we saw for Tulane had a good season. Yeah. Head on his shoulders was right. I'd just be careful trying to
use... No, I'm not painting him with that. I don't want to put that on him.
Outlandish reasons.
Don't want to put that on him.
With an NCAA that says, now at the same time it's losing power by the day it feels like, but that says it's going to be tightening up on things. We'll see. But we know too that, you know, you go to whatever lengths you can. Again, but again, it's not good to abuse that if that is not the case. But I know... I'm not naive enough to think that there aren't programs that have done that. But that's, again, Nick Jourdain is the latest Temple forward, has announced on Instagram that he's going to be transferring to Memphis. 6'8", 205, had a 16-10 game against Memphis last year, had a three-block game as well, and so looks like a good starting addition for Penny Hardaway in terms of replacing what he's lost in terms of some of the experience last year.
Next story.
All right. A reset of Grizzlies. They lost 141-132 to the Clippers last night. We won't go too deep into it. Don't need to. frankly, you get to run it back with those same Clippers on Friday down at FedEx Forum. Mentioned it, very little defense was played. Clippers shot 62% from the field. They were 22 of 37 from three. Grizz shot 52%, and yet they're in the fourth quarter. They just didn't have the firepower. I said it. I mean, at one point, you know, Dylan Brooks is out there with Santi trying to hold it down in center because Xavier Tillman's in foul trouble. I think you had a couple of other G League guys. LaRavia maybe was on the floor at that point. And it was, my gosh, I mean, there's you can't get stops at the rim because there's no Jaren Jackson in there. You just got Santi trying to hold it down. And then you just didn't have enough firepower offensively in that fourth quarter against a red-hot shooting Clippers team. And so in the end, there was probably, with as shorthanded as you were, there wasn't much chance of getting the win. That said, I think you do like what you saw from Ja Morant, a maskless Ja Morant, by the way, who seems like he's done with the mask. He's tired of the sweat that builds up in it and having to put it on with the hair and everything else. He struggled with it a little bit. 36 points last night, was 11 of 28 from the floor. Did go 12 of 12. Thought he, you know, he played in the Clippers' hands a little bit. They were playing off of him. That's not new. You're going to play off Ja at the three-point line. Shot 9 threes, only connected on 2 of them. You could see. I mean, he was almost like an internal conflict as he turned around, made one of them. He's like, that's the last time. You could see him almost mouthing it, that y'all going to play off me. But they kept giving it to him. And, again, 11 of 28, 2 of 9 from 3. The efficiency, certainly from a shooting standpoint, wasn't there. But you can't knock him. 36-9, he was out there doing it pretty much by himself. Other than Dylan Brooks, again, getting 24 shots, making 12 of them, scoring 30 points. They got nothing off the bench, but when you're that shorthanded and you've got guys like Luke Kennard in the starting lineup, no Tyus Jones, that's what leads to, what, 21-point games off the bench. Again, you got Roddy, you saw Kennedy Chandler, LaRavia even, Lofton Jr. I'd have played him more than 9 minutes. All that said, what it all ends up in is just now a 2-game lead over the Sacramento Kings for the 2 spot. Now, Drew Hill, and probably rightly so, said you should still be pretty comfortable about the lead at this point. We know you cannot finish the regular season tied with the Kings. Can't let them do that because then they've got the tiebreaker. You would go to 3. Kings would move up to 2. And all of a sudden, instead of looking at who's coming out of the play-in, you're getting whoever that 6 is in that 3-6 matchup. Now, if you look at the schedules the rest of the way, between Memphis and Sacramento, we'll do a little quick glance at this. For Memphis, it's the 8th toughest schedule the rest of the way, according to Tankathon. 4 on the road, including 3 to end the season on the road at New Orleans, which the other night was playing desperate. Did lose to Golden State. Yeah. Playing desperate, trying to make the playoffs and the play-in. Milwaukee, Drew mentioned it. Who knows if they've locked down the number 1 seed at that point? We'll see. In the OKC, that's the 3 road games to end the year. You've got Clippers on Friday at Chicago, and then you've got Portland in here next Tuesday. So all of that represents, at least by winning percentage, the 8th toughest schedule the rest of the way. Remember, you're trying to stay the 2 games ahead of the Kings. Their final 6, 21st toughest. Portland on Friday, they've got again after they just beat them down by 40. Yeah. So at a time on Friday when you're going against the Clippers, they're getting Portland again. So again, slip up against what should be a Clippers team that we suspect has Kawhi back. You know, Ty Lue did say that he expected it just to be a 1-game absence. You mess around and lose that one, Sacramento's getting an easy one against Portland. You're looking at that lead being trimmed down to 1 game. So we'll move on. Then, obviously, the Kings have got San Antonio, who's, you know, at this point competitive, sure, but they're done. Then you're at New Orleans, at Dallas. Dallas is a mess, so much so that they're out of playoff contention right now, period. They're not even in the play-in range right now. They're a hot mess. Then they got Golden State and Denver. So Sacramento's schedule is easier. Sure, Denver's good. Golden State's good. They're going to be playing down the stretch, you would think. But Denver might not, though. Denver, for that regular season finale, to be honest with you, they'll probably pack it in, you would think, because the 1 seed will be locked up. They could be resting guys at that point. The whole point is you can't be it ain't super comfortable. I agree with Drew. You still feel good. You know, the 3-game lead goes down to a 2 last night. But you got to know where they're at in your rearview mirror, if you know what I mean, with the Sacramento Kings team. And as for them, they end the longest drought in the 4 professional sports, the 4 major sports. It would be NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, and hockey. They end the, 16-year drought, goes back to 2006, by clinching their playoff spot last night with their 40-point win over Portland. And yeah, you feel good for Sacramento and ending what had been obviously an embarrassing drought. As Jeff pointed out, it really struck me when he said it. But when you think about it, so the last time they were in the playoffs was social media wasn't even close. Like the way the game was covered that many years ago, what, 2006, it wasn't even the same. Like everything was, Twitter wasn't what it was. Lord knows there's no TikTok, all this stuff. It was a different game in terms of the way we even watch the NBA. It's been that long since the Kings, 16 years, yes, have been out of the playoffs. We mentioned it, 40-point win over the Trailblazers, who have basically packed it in. They've packed up Russ. Packed up Dame. Their season is essentially over. So you look at, you know, the race, two-game lead, lot more action beneath you with everybody jockeying, it seems like, to be the six so they can face the Kings at three. But it is not necessarily all the way dialed in that that's what it's going to end up being with the Grizzlies at two, Kings at three. Remember, Kings have the tiebreaker. So hopefully, again, I know you got a chance to rest some guys last night against the Clippers, but hopefully you're playing enough here down the stretch that, listen, so if you go 3-3, Sacramento, very easy math, would have to go 5-1 to catch you.
Yep.
So, okay.
Is this a rest period for the Grizzlies?
I don't think you want to rest because, Brad, the difference between the 2 seed and the 3 seed is a pretty major difference in the sense that you guarantee yourself home court through the first 2 rounds. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so it's critical that you get these. If we put it that way, right, 6 left, just go 3-3. What are the chances that Sac wins 5 of the final 6? Yes, it's
very
an easier
low
schedule the rest of the way, but that's tough. You
very,
know,
very difficult.
That's, you would think, tough to do 5 of the final 6. Is it impossible? No. That's a good offensive team, Sacramento, but you would think that'd be tough to do for them. So,
yeah.
Listen, for a Grizzlies team that you hope's got Jaren Jackson and those guys back on Friday,
yeah,
I 3-3 ain't asking too much. Heck, I'd love if it was 4-2. So I say that to say, still feel good about it,
yeah,
but know that the Kings are right there in the rearview mirror.
I think you also probably make some strategic calculations. I think last night's a good example of that. And if they win, let's say they win 3 in a row, the Grizzlies. They get Friday night's game against the Clippers, and they come back with a couple more.
Bulls, I think, is after that.
Yeah, which it should be a winnable game. You would probably think that the calculus is, okay, we really need Jaren, like, rocking and rolling here as we work to get these dudes back. Maybe there's a left thigh bruise that we need to rest on that next Wednesday if they're able to have a game or two where they can do that.
Yeah, listen, get the one Friday against the Clippers.
That's a good
You're
one.
Right about
yeah.
Chicago, and then Portland is a W. They've given up at this point of the that's 3 good opportunities yeah. right there, and you don't yep. have to worry so much about the 3 road games to end the year. At New Orleans, at Milwaukee, and then at that Oklahoma City Thunder team, man.
They're plucky, dude. They are plucky. I don't like seeing them. I would rather not have them.
Yep.
You know, and you said it yesterday. I think we didn't. You kind of like the Timberwolves, too. You're not scared of the Timberwolves.
Well, they came up short yesterday against Phoenix at Phoenix, but you saw them. I mean, Anthony Edwards was over 30. I want to say Cat had 30 again. Again, don't have that box.
They figured
in front
some stuff
of me,
out, maybe.
They have.
Yeah.
And that had been a pretty hot Minnesota team that Phoenix was able to keep at bay. I don't want any part of them. You saw they were better than you for stretches of that series last year. I know it's a different Minnesota team with Gobert in there, but they're upgraded at point guard as far as I'm concerned with Conley in there now. They seem to know a little bit more what they are than they did last year, and now they've had that, much like you, they've had that taste of losing in the playoffs like Memphis did to Utah before last season and was able to advance in the playoffs. They've had that, so they've learned a little something. You know, again, that's, I think, the difference between, as Drew made the comparison, the Grizzlies last year and the Kings this year.
Yep.
The Grizzlies last year were top 4 defense and they were number 4 in offense and a top 6 defense. Like, it was great metrically, but they also had the experience of losing a first round playoff series, seeing that it was different to Utah. Mm-hmm. Sacramento was coming in without that experience. Essentially, they are you 2 years ago, right? When you hadn't had any playoff experience yet, and you've got to come in and learn. So that a little bit of a difference there, even though I do agree with him that that seems to be like the next hot thing,
yeah,
much like the Grizzlies were a year, 2 years ago, the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, you also want to, I don't look forward to that woman who was picketing or rioting on the court or whatever. She chained herself to the
stands. Oh, that was Minnesota.
That was the Minnesota series. You know, like, maybe we can avoid them.
Who was that organization? It wasn't PETA. It was a different one.
It was about
the chickens.
The owner
had
chickens, and she was upset, and there was a group that was protesting the chickens. And it happened both in Minnesota during that series, and then it happened here in Memphis. Mm-hmm. And it stopped the game at the beginning because she tried to chain herself to
I wonder if they'll be up to any antics this year for anybody that's going against Minnesota.
I don't know. I think you bring up a lot of good points, though, about Minnesota. It's taken all year, almost, it feels like, for them to figure it out. But it seems like after the Conley trade was probably a good one. I mean, it's a veteran point guard.
Well, it's what you need. You get the ball. It helps with pecking order stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, now Conley understands, you know what, we need to be giving this team over to Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Boom, you're going to get it on rather than Carl Anthony. He can run the thing.
Yeah. He
can help you sort of set that order. He's a guy who's been through it. And, yeah, I think they just know they know more about themselves and what they are. And then you – listen, if you've got a even – sort of hobbled Steven Adams in a playoff series against them, going up against Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, that could get
tough. It'll be a series.
That could get tough inside, especially if Jaren Jackson Jr., and we've seen he's still capable, gets into foul trouble.
Yes.
That could be real tough with that Gobert addition in there.
I think all of these teams are really competitive. And the Lakers, obviously, they've got weapons. But like ESPN this morning, you know, the clip with the Windhorse thing where they're not scared in the 7 or the 8 or the play-in teams.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of reject that. Like, I think at this point, everybody's a competitor, and it's going to be a competitive series no matter who you catch, you know. And I don't think the Grizzlies are overmatched. I think the Grizzlies have more weapons. They got better shooters now. We have Luke Kennard. I mean, we upgraded from last year.
Yeah, you just hit on the one that I think could end up being the biggest difference maker in these playoffs. What he gives you now from an offensive standpoint, the way they're able to space the floor. Now, your weakness had been half-court offense.
Yes.
He improves that so much when he's on the floor with Bane at the same time. Drew just laid it out for you.
You
get to
it.
A point, if you've got the right lineup in there, where you're uncoverable if you've got John Jaren in there as well. And so it can slick small moves.
It changes
but
it.
It could change it immensely in terms of what you're capable of in the playoffs and what the way teams can defend you.
Yes.
Like, when you know, if it's just Jai out there, Brad, and an inefficient Dylan Brooks – and just Bane, they back off everybody. You can sag off everybody, just like the Clippers were doing Ja last night.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when Dylan shot the ball. You're just the only one you're worried about is Bane. But when you've got Kennard out there too, it's literally two of the best in the league.
Yep.
And so now all of a sudden you gotta go up. What does that do? It unlocks downhill Dez
space
all of a sudden, who's scoring inside and outside. Luke has shown you if you're gonna come out on him, I can take off the dribble, be a little bit of a playmaker. And all of a sudden, your offense is like clicking in a way that it hasn't. And maybe, again, you know, if you're faced and forced in situations where there's no Steven Adams, you know, that offense is clicking nicely. Jaren Jackson's out of foul trouble, hopefully, and you've got shooters all over the floor, all around Ja Morant. That's hard to guard.
I don't want to compare it to
Golden
State.
In a wide open West.
I don't want to compare it to Golden State's run, but every time Golden State went on a run, Klay and Steph were both cooking. Like, it would be a track meet, and then those dudes would get in there, and you were just fearful because, like, they'd put Klay over here and Steph would bring the ball, so you either drive and kick and you had Klay in the corner. It's the same thing.
Any guesses on, now that the Sacramento Kings have ended their 16-year drought on playoffs, any guesses
the biggest drought
on
in major
the longest
sports?
Drought in the NFL, hockey, Major League Baseball, NBA now? Any guesses on who that would be?
In pro sports.
Yeah, and that's way too wide.
Let me start here. Is it a big three? It's not hockey? Can I take hockey out of it?
Yep, take hockey.
We're
going
to remove hockey, so that helps us. Is it Sacramento?
Well, Sacramento's done. They were the longest.
So they were the longest. They are in the playoffs coming up this year.
So who had the next longest drought? And we've said it's not hockey.
Is it baseball?
No. It's the NFL.
It's football. And it's got to be Detroit. No, wait. Detroit was in. No, they missed the playoffs this year. It's not Detroit.
It's not Detroit.
Seattle's been in recently. Who am I missing? I can't. I'm blanking. Who is it?
AFC East, Greenberg's team. Aaron Rodgers headed there.
How do we miss the Jets?
It 12 years.
The Jets?
The Jets. Yes.
The Jets have the longest in major pro sports.
12 years now.
You know,
and
I don't think Aaron's going to bring it to him. And I'll be straight up with
you. Stop. Now, we're about to argue for the first time in 2 days. Now, you don't think Aaron Rodgers taking the Jets to playoffs.
You're the guy who I've listened to for 7 years now, 6, 7 years on this program. And we've both were in lockstep on Aaron Rodgers. The joke that Aaron Rodgers is. Let me hit the button.
Well, the attention-seeking joke that he is, thinking he's a Tom Brady.
And I realize he's got a lot more weapons.
I still have respect for that joke of an attention-seeker, all right. Aaron Rodgers.
So he's going to come in, and I guess they've got Lazard now. He's going. Yes, he's with the Jets.
Yes. And the Garrett Wilson dude, and
Davis.
They got Breece Hall, and they got and they got a top five defense. Like, they're going to be right there. The Bills will be probably slightly favored to win the division over the Jets.
So this is it. This is the end of the run.
It's going to end. That's what I'm predicting. I'm surprised you jumped this far. You thought,
I kind of went out on ledge here.
I'm
workshopping. Let me workshop it because you asked me a trivia question, so I wanted to workshop this a little bit.
Yep.
You may have convinced me because I just pulled up their roster and I'm looking through the depth chart. Depth chart is mighty. I forgot about the top five defense. But Aaron Rodgers is the savior. It was all the quarterback.
He's really what they need, and you're going to have an Aaron Rodgers who says that everybody says he's washed up.
Why the hell do they want to deal with that circus, though? Why not do what the Raiders did? Go get G. Like, go get somebody who's just a game manager.
I think in this sense.
Because they're going to have to give up a few things.
The Jets feel like they're close enough, much like the Rams.
I didn't mean
were
to hijack
our
playoff conversation, by
where,
the way.
Where you feel like, no, it's fine. Yeah. I mean, I love talking to it. But the Jets are in a position where they feel like they've got everything else, essentially.
I get it.
And just need the QB right now. And no, if it's a guy, if you can get Aaron Rodgers over Garoppolo, you're going to do that 10 times out of 10. And
right.
I would feel like you're getting an Aaron Rodgers who's got a chip on his shoulder, or at least says he does. Now, has he been a different Aaron Rodgers since the ayahuasca, since all that mess? Yes. Man goes to darkness retreats now and all that stuff.
Thank you.
And doesn't even like to come to the workouts where he's working. Didn't do that last year in Green Bay.
No.
But he says he's going to be a more, it sounds like he's going to be a more motivated and a more locked in guy. So I suspect in looking to prove that he's still got MVP stuff, you're going to see Aaron Rodgers, once they get done with whatever the trade compensation is going to be, the Jets are holding them to it, and they're rightful to do so because they got all the leverage. I suspect you're going to see an Aaron Rodgers that checks in early because he sees the opportunity, tries to develop that relationship with those receivers earlier in the offseason, and that goes in looking to put up an MVP-type year.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying,
just be back.
Wait till the circus arrives in New York with this dude and the weird stuff.
Now,
and
if he's waited till training camp and all that, and he's coming in late and waiting on all the cameras to see him so he can be in TMZ, then I'm with you.
I
think we're going to see a locked-in Aaron Rodgers with a lot to prove this year.
Yeah, and it looks like they've got the 13th pick, so they'll get another receiver there possibly. Mm. Yeah, they are going to load up. So I
want to say he had Randall Cobb on the wish list too. He's already got Lazard, and
he's got his list.
It's his list, and Garrett Wilson is a bona fide good one in terms of receiver for them.
Do you have a second? Do you have the full list?
I don't. It was just my one.
Okay. Well, good for the Kings to take themselves off of that playoff list, and I'll just ride with you that the Jets are going to be also out of this list soon.
I suspect that's the way it's going to go. I got one more thing.
Yeah, let's do that.
Next story.
ESPN's got their straw poll up. Couple interesting things. It's the NBA MVP straw poll, and we know things had gotten tighter with Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic in terms of the MVP race. Jokic, the two-time reigning MVP, Joel Embiid, the guy who is his biggest challenger this season and has been. If you're looking at the total points, when you add up first place, second place, third place, fourth place, and fifth place votes, this thing is neck and neck. Embiid has edged Jokic, and usually these are spot on. Yeah. That's the reason why ESPN has made these news and put headlines on them, because usually straw polls go along with what the results will be. Right now, Embiid has a 790 to 788 advantage, a two-point advantage over Jokic. Jokic had more first-place votes, 42 to Embiid's 40, but Embiid got more votes overall on the 45 ballots. Other interesting things. So right now, by a nose, the voters have got Joel Embiid ahead of Nikola Jokic. Remember, he didn't play in that game recently that some thought voters might hold against Joel Embiid. Against Jokic.
Yeah.
They sat out that game, if I'm not mistaken. He didn't play in that one. But still, even with that game accounted for, the voters have got him ahead right now. What it tells you is that this one's going to come down to the end.
Right to the wire.
I'm assuming that both of them, much like the Grizzlies and Kings, have six games or so left. It'll come down to the wire I suspect that in the end, Joel Embiid wins, to Sain's point, because usually there is some voter fatigue. A guy that's voted for Jokic the last two, you may have a couple of those guys flip over to Embiid to get him the You know, the interesting thing as it relates to the Grizzlies is that Ja Morant didn't get a vote. And maybe that's not so surprising.
No, but look who's is in there, though.
At the very bottom.
Go say
that's
it.
Where I was going
with
it.
Yeah, please.
Jaren Jackson Jr. got 1/5th place vote.
I wanted you to go there.
Yes. Tied for 13th. I mean, the same as Devin Booker got 1/5th place vote. I think the surprising thing is that it's Jaren and not Ja Morant with 1/4th or 5th place vote.
Exactly.
It's the fact that it's Jaren there. And I just wonder, and again, I you suspect some of their straw poll people have got to be people that are voting on the All-NBA team.
Yep.
I wonder if Ja not having any MVP votes is any kind of way representative of how some are going to vote when it comes to All-NBA.
All of those things just went through my head when I looked at this list.
They can't hold games against Ja, against him in terms of not giving the 8-game suspension. It ended up being 9 there. He played fewer games last year and still made All-NBA.
Yeah.
But what they can hold against him is what they think of him. Because that, you know, what they think of his image, what they think
judgment
of the gun issue.
And all this stuff.
The judgment. Yeah. And Drew's right. These guys' extensions, the money on their extensions, shouldn't come down to the opinions of some sports writers and broadcasters whose opinions could be tainted by how they feel about your off-the-court stuff.
I agree.
But it absolutely can trickle in and trigger how much money these NBA players are making in these contracts. There has to be a better way. Again, when it's dictating money, there has to be a better way to figure out these All-NBA teams because ego can get into it. I'm old school sports writer. I've had my vote for 25 years, and I tell you, Ja Morant is ruining the league. I can't stand him. You think there's not one or two of them fools up in there? Like they're
It's the same thing in baseball Hall of Fame. Every year, these old fuddy-duddies, I'm sorry if you're listening, they get in on their high horse and they talk about PEDs. They talk about Barry Bonds every damn year. And it's like at a certain point, and I don't know if it helps the sport either, because you're taking what are probably the best players, forget PEDs, when they weren't on PEDs. Probably like Barry Bonds is a good example of that. Here's a question for you, because Jaren Jackson was the only Grizzly that got a vote there. It was a 5th place vote.
Good for him.
Is Jaren Jackson more important to the Grizzlies than Ja Morant?
Don't do that to me. I'm the one came in here the other day. Folks thought I was crazy. John looked at me like I had three eyes because I said I could see a day where Jaren Jackson is the number one offensive priority on this team.
Is
the go-to guy on this team. Because, listen, I just think the Grizzlies are better when Ja Morant is – Harrington said it this morning. I'd said it before. Not when he's just going, hey, Ja Morant, go beat him. Go get down.
Reckless abandon.
Memphis is better when it's running some half-court offense, when it's getting the ball now to a willing and wanting Jaren Jackson Jr., running some stuff off that and going from there.
Exactly.
The offense looks better that way. And so could I see a future where you're throwing it into Jaren first before Ja's looking to get downhill in the lane? Absolutely. But Ja's still the most.
He's the show.
There's no question because, again, someone's got to get it to Jaren, and in that spot, let's be real, you have an absolute superstar.
Yep.
You have an absolute stud. Like listen, for as inefficient as the game was, and he was perfect from the free throw line, so not everything was inefficient about his shooting touch last night, you still couldn't take your eyes off of him.
No.
Like the guy, you know, when
he's a magnet.
Whether he's trying to get himself going or it's other teammates or the way, like there are times.
That alley oop.
The alley oop he caught from Dylan Brooks came out of nowhere.
I mean, he punched it.
And I almost came out of my seat on that one.
I had to stand up at the house
because Brooks had gotten the block on the other end, I think it was, on that one, on Westbrook, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
He is electric. And he will always be. I'm glad you brought it up because I don't want folks to get it twisted.
No.
Me saying that he might one day be the number one offensive priority for Ja is not saying Jaren's the most important.
That's right.
Ja is that.
Yes.
He is the reason you're at this point now as a number two seed, for the second straight year potentially?
Yep.
And I don't think that's changing anytime soon.
I love this column. So just two more things. One, do you think that the voters got it right with Embiid sitting there at one currently?
The difference for me this year is that Joel Embiid has been more impactful on the defensive end than Jokic.
Yeah.
Everything about what Jokic does with the triple-doubles, it's amazing on the offensive end. There is no question you take him off that Denver team. It's a hot mess. But Embiid is doing it this year on both ends. From a block standpoint, offensively, he is their first option. He on both ends of the floor, he is impacting the game more to me than Jokic. And so I would give the nod to Joel Embiid this year, yes.
I also saw Jokic not have a great game in Memphis, so maybe I'm clouded. Remember that game they played here before they went on the road and played him?
What, that one of his lowest scoring performances of the...
They took care of him.
Yeah.
So Denver, as far as if we were to get that far and get them in the finals of the Western Conference, I actually like that matchup for the Grizzlies. But then the final question I had for you is, did you see in this column they list the closest margin of victory for the MVP, and they go back to when Jordan got runner-up in 1996-97 to Karl Malone. I remember that year when Jordan got runner-up because everybody was wanting Karl Malone, and it just seemed like people wanted him to get it just for the sake of somebody else get this thing.
Oh, Mike was the ultimate example of they could have given it to him and should have given it to him every year.
Yes.
But there are such things as voter fatigue and moving on and trying to find the next
somebody
guy.
Else.
And giving it to Karl Malone, that was that.
Yep.
Absolutely. And to Mike's credit, he used it against
Paul.
Terms of taking two titles off of him later on.
Yeah.
And we've seen it from that documentary. And so, man, I miss
Mike. It's a good memory.
I miss Mike.
Me too. And Charlotte won't miss him, though, because he gone. That brother gone.
I don't know.
Is he getting out of there?
There's been some back and forth on whether or not he's going to do it. And at this point, I know it's still, he says he's told Silver he is considering, but that.
It's a lot of money he's about to get.
There is nothing imminent at this point for Michael Jordan turning it over.
Get a couple billion.
Yeah, go from
with a B.
Spent $250 or $275 million, and now it's worth over $1.5 billion.
Yeah, 4 or 5 times that little investment.
We're laughing at him about his skills as a front office guy and now an owner. No,
he knows how to make money.
He's laughing at us because he's got all the money.
Now, he doesn't know how to run a franchise. Yeah, franchise.
That's all right.
Poverty
though.
Franchise, but in terms of selling it,
know how to get some money.
Yeah, he does.
Know how to build a brand
for real.
He is the king. Yeah. Never forget it, LeBron fans. There's only one king. It's MJ. Listen, we got plenty more to do at 125. Of course, we're going to talk to the great Jeff Calkins like we do every Thursday. We'll ask him about Penny's new addition, Temple transferred Nick Jordan. Got to get used to saying the name. Ask him about the Grizzlies, how he feels about this 2-game lead with 6 to play. So plenty to talk about with Jeff Calkins. We'll do a little baseball, too, as we get set to I can't give Brad too much time. Y'all know he'll go on for an hour about the Cardinals' chances this year. But I do want to let you guys see how excited he is about opening day and really how nice it is to have baseball back. We'll talk about some of the changes, who we like, those kinds of things. We'll do it when we get back. Listen to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Guests appear on the Superbook Sports phone line. Superbook Sports, now open with better odds and favorable prices. With Jason and John, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Did y'all boys not get the memo? I do not stay at the Intercontinental. And anything I got is not a rental. I own that mom. Figured out this is simple. My stock been going up.
It's always a good time to get over to the Wing Guru, 5699 Mount Moriah. You've got the Collierville location, 875 West Poplar. They're out in Millington at 8253 Highway 51, of course. Whitehaven as well. We've stretched out to Houston and Atlanta. And for the month of April, get ready, 10 piece for $8.99. You're not going to find a better April special in town, and certainly not find a better special with the best wings like this in town. It's Billy Richmond, Mad Scientist, he started out on as after a fantastic basketball career. Basically went into Mad Scientist mode and started creating these flavors for wings. And his father had been cooking up wings all of his life, right? And he goes, he takes these 21 flavors, they become world famous, he uses them to open up a chicken house empire. The name of it is Wing Guru, and if you have not been there yet, either you've been under a rock or you're just sleeping or you're a straight hater. It's time to put the hate down, get over the Wing Guru. Experience the best in Memphis, and when you see Billy Richmond, entrepreneur now, we're so proud of him, number retired over at Hamilton High.
Yep.
Man. Stud. When you see him, of course, you tell him that Jason and John sent you. Baseball!
Hey-o.
Baby. What would I look like on baseball's opening day if I didn't give at least a good 5-6 minutes?
You gonna give us five?
Give you Cardinals fans, because I was just rolling through y'all's country. Yeah. Just came back down through Cardinal country.
Give
we were
a,
up in
I want to see
St. Louis
Cubs
last
season
week
preview. We got a lot of Cubs fans listening.
Man, you ain't getting a Cubs preview.
Come on. Cubs preview.
No. I will not do that to them. I know there's a bunch out there that are just wildly optimistic.
Like pining.
Drew Hill, I could hear it in his voice. Don't rain your Cubs tears on my parade. It's opening day, Jason. We're going to suck. And I'm not going to waste time telling you that. What I am interested in is whether the Cardinals can not just be good in the NL Central, but actually be a contender for a World Series this year up there with the Dodgers of the world, the Padres of the world, the Mets and the Braves of the world. Is this the year for the Cardinals? Have you put together enough this year?
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals who, by the way, 310?
Right. Yes. 310 on 790 here in Memphis.
Who is it? Interleague? You open Interleague?
Yeah, Toronto.
More Interleague than ever, too. That's the other thing difference with baseball this year, isn't there?
Yeah, they play Toronto tonight. And this is the year where the teams play everyone. You will at some point see, and then they alternate. So they'll play in Toronto team, presumably in St. Louis this year, and then next year they'll get Toronto up in Canada.
I saw, too, where the what's always been a tradition, 19 divisional games drops down to like 13 now.
Yeah, so to make that number happen.
Right, exactly. So I'm no longer playing 19 games against the Cardinals as a Cubs fan. I'm
playing with that.
13 division games.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
With Cubs cards, I loved it. Now,
it's
with
good.
When I'm playing the Pirates 19 times, it doesn't make any damn sense.
No.
But with a rivalry like ours, but there aren't a ton of those in baseball anymore either. So in the end, probably you're right. The right side to come down on is that it's better to have fewer divisional matchups.
And the cool thing is if you're a Mets fan that lives in the St. Louis region, or like Parrish, he's a Mets fan. You know, if you want to drive up and, bad example, let's say he was a Yankees fan. You'll get to see the Yankees every 2 years in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Which you would normally not see
exactly
them very often.
Exactly.
You know, every 5 or 6
Yeah, I think that's why ultimately you're right. In the grand scheme, it's a better
if
deal.
If I'm a Mets fan in an American League market like Oakland, I'll get to see my team every 2 years, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I'd rather see that than see my team play the Cincinnati Reds or Pirates 19 times.
It's
Let me see some of the stellar teams over in the American League. I'm with you.
Before we get to how awesome you think the Cardinals are going to be, how do you feel about the rules that are...
Yeah, that's what I was going to get into. Yeah,
let's
so
do that.
Rob Manfred, for a long time, has been trying to streamline everything else. The players have been opposed to a pitching clock, but it's happening.
Uh-huh.
The clock started this spring, basically. Pitchers are going to get 15 seconds in between pitches with the bases empty. They'll get 20 seconds with men aboard. How transformative this is going to be has been left up for some debate. I guess we're going to see. We do have some sample size here, though, with the preseason and the spring games. And last week, as Jason Stark points out, I thought this was interesting. You'll appreciate this. It was a Mets-Nationals game, had 17 runs, 33 base runners, 14 pitchers. So a lot of starting and stopping. Still went 2 hours, 23 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's
2 hours, 23 minutes with the new pitch clock, with 33 base runners, 17 runs, and 14 pitcher changes. That's pretty impressive to get in a game under 3 hours, frankly.
It's very
with
good.
All of that, offense, with all of those with all those base runners and pitching changes.
A lot of people don't like the fact they can't scratch their crotch and step out.
I don't care about the players not liking it.
They don't.
This, at this point, it should be all about fans. It should be about making the experience, the watching experience, better. That's what it should be about. And listen, I've given Manfred a lot of grief in some instances. That if you're you know, judging his tenure as commissioner, there probably ain't a ton with baseball, as much as it's struggling in terms of popularity. It's probably not a ton of credit that you can give Manfred, but I do think this is the right move.
I mean, I do too.
You know, cutting down on games, the pitching changes and how long that can take. And now, Brad, you know, we're going a pitcher sometimes for just one batter, and you're going back and it changes. So anything to shorten it up, this pitching clock, doing that. And don't you like pitchers that work fast?
I do. The other thing is people were abusing it. The games kept getting longer and longer.
I know.
Like, not shorter and shorter. So you had to get to this
point. Which goes against fan interest and excitement and everything else.
And the bases are bigger.
We want our sports faster. So what's that going to do?
So it'll help stolen bases, because you're getting three or four inches on either side.
I didn't know the purpose of that when I'd read that deep. The bases being larger.
There will be more safe calls. I mean, you got to think about it. If you're going from 15 inches to 18 inches or whatever it is, it's like 3 or 4 inches on either side of the bag. Okay. And that includes first to second. I would think that you're going to get a little edge there.
Now,
it's a little edge.
Give us... I've been eagerly awaiting this. Mm. The J&J Cardinals season preview.
Let's not make this a build-up to something
for
that it's
not. For our
great
many Cardinals listeners.
I pay more attention to high school baseball right now than I do Cardinals. Having said that, I pulled up the lineup for today. We have a pitching problem this year, Jason Smith.
Oh, okay.
We have a big pitching problem. We are starting the year with Miles Michaelis as our ace. And that tells you everything you need to know when your number one is Miles Michaelis, because Adam Wainwright's on the fritz after the World Baseball Classic.
Yep.
And so I think if they have a weakness, it's probably at pitching. You've got Donovan Nootbaar, who played for Japan in the World Baseball Classic. You obviously have the corners with Goldschmidt and Arenado. We've got
covered.
Our beautiful new
studs.
Catcher, Wilson Contreras,
love.
Two L's.
Wilson!
We have him from the Cubs now. The most exciting thing happening for the Cardinals and for Cardinal fans, and our very own Gabe Kuhn just tweeted this, and I'm glad he did. Jordan Walker, not only does he make the opening day roster, but he will start for the St. Louis Cardinals, and he is going to be a stud.
That's a young cat, right?
He's 20 years old.
I heard him.
He's 6'5", 220. He looks like a linebacker, and he was their first pick overall back, I think it was 20 is when they picked him. So he's only, you know, 2.5 years fresh out of high school, and he is a stud. Cardinal fans are excited about Jordan Walker, right field.
Well, you have nothing to worry about in the Central, right? In terms of the Brewers, they're only supposed to – I was looking at some – you know, basically they were making the picks in the NL Central, and I didn't see anybody that had – the Cubs up at 2, or the Pirates, or the
everybody's
Reds.
Picking
it
the Cardinals.
It was all Cardinals, with the Brewers having an outside chance at even challenging for the division.
I think it's going to be a lot like last year. I think they do have an edge in the Central. The real problem is the National League
is a bitch. Once you get past your division.
And I even include the Phillies in that conversation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.